Let us pray. Most gracious and heavenly Father, we are thankful this evening. Thankful that you are such a gracious God, that you care about us. This you did from eternity past. So you designed a plan by which your Son went to the cross and died for our sins. Father, what a privilege that we have that we're your children. We recognize that this responsibility that comes to us by virtue of our position in you is such of such great importance that you have given to us in writing what we need to know in order to accomplish your purpose and plan on this planet. It is for this reason that we have gathered together to study a portion of this word. We now pray that God, the Holy Spirit, will open our understanding as we study these things, for we ask in Christ's name, amen. We have been dealing with maintaining proper relationships in Christian homes. And that is Colossians 3, from verses 18 through Chapter 4, verse 1. In dealing with this, we have emphasized the fact that the key to all of this started way back in verse 16, where it talks about saturating the soul with the word. If we saturate our soul with God's word, then that will help us in helping other people. It will help us in worshiping. It will also help us in glorifying Christ. And the one we'll be dealing with now is in maintaining proper relationships. In dealing with proper relationship, we say there are three that the apostle focus here: husband, wife, children, parents, slaves, masters. Well, so far we have finished with this, the relationship between a husband and a wife. And in dealing with this, you recall there are four things that I said we need to keep in mind all through the period of studying this section. The first one, that this is assumed that those addressed are all believers. Secondly, that those who are under authority must keep focus on the Lord Jesus Christ as they submit to any authority. The third, that there is a pattern. The command is issued to the one under the authority, and then the command is then reissued in a different way to the one who is over the person under that authority. Fourth, that a person's happiness on this planet is directly related to this section. Because if you really bring it down, you realize that in every way we live this life, we are all under some form of authority or the other. There is no such thing as a person without being under one authority or the other. When a person thinks that he or she is not under authority, it means that the person doesn't even recognize the authority of the Lord Jesus Christ over him. We all live under the authority of Christ above all, and there are other human authorities that we are subjected to one way or the other. So we have considered then the commands that govern that first relationship in the members of a family, that is the husband and wife. We saw the primary responsibility of the wife. We also saw in great detail what it means that a man loves the wife. We expanded on that last week. So today, we get now to the command issued to children in their relationship with their parents. So what now we begin in Colossians chapter 3, verses 20 and 21. It says, "Children, obey your parents in everything, for this pleases the Lord. Fathers, do not embitter your children, or they will become discouraged." Now the command given to the wife to submit to her husband indicates that the husband is the highest authority in the household, that's in the family. However, next to the husband is the wife in the hierarchy of authority of the family. It is for this reason that the object of obedience in this particular passage includes the father and the mother. Now, a dysfunctional family is that family in which this hierarchy is ignored, the hierarchy in authority. Now, the Holy Spirit, through the apostle, wants us to recognize this hierarchy in authority. This is one reason the wife was addressed first, followed then by instruction to the husband. For you see, if a wife does not recognize the authority of her husband, then it will be very difficult for her to exercise authority over her own children. And needless to say that a lot of people, because they don't understand what authority is, you hear a lot of people say, "Well, when I get my own children, I will deal with them the way my parents deal with me." In some cases, that will cause a distorted thinking. Again, really, if a family begins with a husband and a wife before there are children, so it is that period of what I may call now childlessness. In other words, the period between being married and having children. That period is an important period for the wife to adjust to the authority of her husband. That's the best period given to her. Now, of course, the truth of the matter is that this adjustment to a husband's authority should not be difficult if the wife had properly responded to the authority of her parents, especially that of her father. Now, as we consider this matter of authority in the household, let me also emphasize that no one who has not properly submitted to an authority will know how to exercise authority over other people. In other words, a husband who, as a child, did not obey his parents will not know how to properly exercise authority over his wife. He either becomes a tyrant or he becomes a wimp for the fear of offending the wife, which we have said last week, there may be a time to do that. But generally you don't do that, but only when you say, if you see it's in the interest of your wife, that you're trying to protect her, and at that point, it doesn't matter how much she thinks or how she's offended, you just do the right thing. But in the same way though, wives who, as little girls, did not obey their parents, will not know how to exercise authority over their own children. They will know that, because they will be still rebelling to the authority of their parents. Again, such individuals will either become abusive because they don't know what to do with authority, or they become quite permissive. So obedience to parents is a foundation to living a successful, fulfilled adult life. In any case, the command in this passage that we are considering is for children to be obedient to their parents, as in the phrase, "Children, obey your parents in everything." Now, the word "obey" is a translation of a Greek word, hupa-akuo. H-U, P-A-K-O-U-O. Hupa'akuo. Sorry, there should be O here. Hupa'akuo means to listen. In addition to obey, it means to be subject to. It can also mean to answer the door. Now, it is interesting, though, that the Holy Spirit directs the apostle to use a different word than was used for husband and wife relationship. If you recall, the word used for the wife is hupotasso. Now, both of them have an overlapping meaning in the sense of the word to obey, but yet there is a slight difference in a sense. The one hupotasso has the emphasis on this idea of losing one's right or surrendering one's right or one's own will to a husband. Now, the fact that this word was not then applied to children indicates at least two facts to me. First of all, children do not have rights as such in connection with their parents while still members of the household. They do not have any rights to surrender. In fact, their will is not an issue when their parents are concerned. And I believe that one of the reasons that parents fail to exercise authority over the children today is because of this idea that the child has a right of privacy. There's no such thing for a child in relationship with the parents. This is that is more or less a human thinking, humanistic thinking. It doesn't come from the Bible. Looking at those two words, you see there is really no privacy. Because you see, in case of a woman, she willingly has to surrender her rights in the form of obedience to the husband, submitting. But for a child, no such thing. He or she does not have any rights to surrender to the parents. His job or her job is obedience. Secondly, the obedience of children is related to instruction. In effect, the target of obedience of children is parental instructions. So if you don't instruct, what are they going to obey? See, the Greek word translated obey here also means to listen. So you see, one has to listen first of all before they obey. Now, the word parents comes from a Greek word that refers to parents in the sense of father and mother, not two men or two women living together. They are not parents. It refers to, the Greek word here refers to a father and a mother of household, although we're living in a dangerous time. Now, a child may belong to a household not necessarily as a result of birth, so that child must still obey the father and the mother that define or constitute that household. So the word parents has a wider application than just a father and a mother. If a child, for example, is being reared by his grandparents or any other relatives, for one of the many reasons, you know, grandparents or relatives rear children that don't belong to them directly. In that case, the child must still obey the grandparents or those relatives according to this passage. Now, there are two observations that we need to make about this command issued to children with respect to their parents. First, the command is in the present tense in the Greek. The implication, of course, is that children should form the habit of obedience to their parents. In fact, we could even translate this command as follows. Children, keep on obeying your parents. In other words, obedience is something required of children on a continuous basis. That is half, you know, if you really understand what the assumption here, one of the tests of the spiritual life of a child who claims to be a believer is how well they obey their parents. That's one, the first test or evidence of it. Now, a child must form the habits of obeying the parents, but those who do not form that habit will certainly have problems with any other authority figure. But if you form the habit as a child of obeying your parents, you will have no problem with other authority figures. But when a child argues and wants to have an explanation for the command of his parents, then such a child will have problem with other authority figures. Now, you see, this is something that when I say, if you tell a child and they want to argue and want to know why this and that, you know, this, some of this come true in our spiritual life as Christians when we grow up, and I'm going to mention more about that. But one thing is this: there are certain things the Bible tells us to do. It doesn't give us reason why we need to do it. You just say, do it. And so, people just want to know why we must do this. Well, obedience means you trust that God knows what he's saying. He couldn't be telling you what is wrong. So if he said obey, he doesn't have to give you an explanation. You just obey. And that's where most of us as Christians, we go wrong, because we want the explanation for everything. Now, if it's a command, it doesn't need any explanation. Well, the sad thing, though, is that such children who grow up arguing and want to know this and that for whatever command that their children, parents give them, they are those who also, who have, when they grow up, they have a hard time submitting to the authority of God. One of the reasons that we may have so many disobedient Christians today is that as children, many of us as Christians, then of course as unbelievers probably, never learned to obey our parents. Now that we are believers, we are having a hard time obeying the structure of the Bible. Now, you know, if there's any hazard, if we can say, the most dangerous thing for us as believers is living a life of disobedience. In other words, you hear what the Bible says. You read it, it's explained to you, but you just don't want to accept it. It is called rebellion. And as long as you do it, you put yourself in a very dangerous and slippery ground. So it is important, though, to emphasize that this command does not say that children should obey their parents in some things or in certain areas. It says in all things. Now, such an inclusive statement, though, assumes, go back to that assumption, that the parents themselves are Christians operating in accordance with truth. For you see, no parent who operates in truth will instruct the child to do things contrary to the truth. Now, because of this assumption, which you then add, that the same rule that applies to a wife in her submission to the husband, or that applies to the husband in that responsibility of seeking to please the wife, also that principle applies right here. You see, we indicated that the highest authority is God. Therefore, when there's a conflict with what a husband requires and what the word of God teaches, the wife ought to obey God and not the husband. They'll be ready for the consequences. The same way I explained last week, it is the responsibility of every husband to seek to please the wife, except on one condition: when there is a conflict between what she wants and what the word of God dictates. Then, at that point, you don't please her. But at the same time, get ready for the silent treatment or whatever else comes. That you will get. But then, who says it's easy? The Bible says, all that live righteously will suffer persecution. And that it will be your own persecution. But nevertheless, a child who lives with his parents must be well advanced in his or her knowledge of truth to apply this rule. By that I mean the child must know thoroughly, know and understand a whole lot about the word of God to know when the parent is ordering something that is contrary to the word. Because you see, without that kind of knowledge, a child will know. So when a child is being taught properly the word of God, then he or she will be placed in a position where That distinction can be made between what God demands and what parents demand that will be contrary to God's will. Now, I say it's still important for us really to understand the limit of this command, since the word children applies to everyone with parents. See, it's children. Now, I say this because no matter how old a person is, that person is still a child to his parents. Now, you may say, well, I'm grown up. Yes, you are. But you're still a child to your parents. Now, why do I say that? Because, see, the word used here is a Hebrew word, teknon. Teknon. T-E-K-N-O-N. Teknon. Now, it's a word that describes a child, female or male, in relationship to parents. See, it's not the other word that may be used just to describe a child, but this one is used to describe relationship between a child and the parents. So the question then is this, because see, when we study these things, we need to be very practical, examine the word to be sure that we're being practical so that nothing is left with gazing walk. So the question is, does this command, because it says children obey your parents, the issue becomes, does this command to obey parents apply to children of all ages? See, that's something we have to grapple with. Well, the answer is no. This command applies strictly when a child lives under parental authority. In other words, as long as a child lives under his parents' household, this command applies to that child. It may be 30, 40 years. I mean, that's sad if that happens, but if it does happen that way, the same rule here still applies. So, if a person is grown up enough, they don't live under their parental guidance, so to say. Now, see, it is not God's intention, though, for a man to continue to live in complete subjection to his parents all his life. Now, otherwise, the man would never establish his own household. If you really want to think about it, the family is the incubator for a man to learn how to exercise authority. So when he gets off from that incubator, he can do it and do it well. Now, the Bible is clear that at marriage, a man leaves home in order to establish his own household. That begins, of course, with the wife. However, when a man or a woman leaves home, the concept of obedience to parents is now replaced with the concept of respect and honor. See, don't think that you get away with something related to parents. It doesn't go. When we are under, living at home, without being married, and being under the authority, the word is obey. But once you leave home, married now, especially a man, you've established your family by marrying, well, as soon as that happens, you replace the word obey with respect and honoring. That's what replaces that word obedience. And I'm going to explain this a little bit. Now, the thing is, there is never a time that it is permissible for a child to be disrespectful of the parent. Never. It is never permissible throughout your life on this planet. You never grow old enough to do that. It doesn't happen. Now, it is because of this, for example, that we have those commands given in Leviticus 19, verse 3. And the reason I hop on these things and try to point them out is, see, we talk a whole lot about Christians who suffer. They never connect their suffering to anything. They just say it just happened, instead of making a connection. And one of the reasons is there are a lot of Christian men and women, grown up, but they show no true respect to their parents. Even though they're old. I'm going to show you, even when they're old, you still have to do it. But when people do ignore that, they get into all kinds of problems. But no one is there to explain to them. And see, one of the good things, if you really mature as a believer, you become an interpreter. In other words, when people come to you with all kinds of problems, the first thing you want to do is you throw in words that will make them think about their spiritual life, if you know they are believers. Because by that, you are interpreting to them God's word in application, so they can look at that and examine themselves and see what may be the reason for whatever it is that they're undergoing. Now, Leviticus 19:3 says, each of you must respect his mother and father, and you must obey my Sabbath. I am the Lord your God. You must never disrespect your parents. Now, the word respect that we have in Leviticus 19 comes from a Hebrew word that means to fear, to be afraid of, or to revere. Now, while a man or a woman does not have to obey the parents when he or she leaves home, he or she must still remain respectful of them. Know that the Hebrew word actually translated respect here means also to be afraid. Now, I bring this to our attention because I often hear parents say that they do not want their children to be afraid of them, but to respect them. Now, that's a common saying. Is there some truth to that? Well, I challenge that. But because it seems to me that no one can truly respect or obey a person that he is not somehow afraid of. See, laws, commands don't mean anything unless they have teeth. The teeth is the punishment. So if a child is never afraid of punishment from the parents, then it's not afraid of the parents. So how can that child obey? So this is why when people say, you don't want your children to be afraid of you, you need for them to be afraid of you. Now, it's not being afraid in the sense of scared, you know, like some of us did when we were little kids, but I'm not talking about that. All I'm saying is they need to be afraid of you, knowing that there is consequences that are coming from you when they go against your will or instruction to them. Now, if an adult disrespects his parents, it is equivalent to cursing them for which that child or that adult will be severely disciplined. That's because when we dishonor our parents after we leave home, I'll show them no respect. I'm saying that's equivalent to cursing. And when you curse your parents, the Bible says it will go well with that person. This we know from Proverbs 20:20. Proverbs 20:20. Proverbs 20:20 says, if a man curses his father or mother, his lamp will be snuffed out in pitch darkness. Now we should, therefore, not think that because we are adults or grown-ups that we have the right to disrespect our parents. It is never permissible on this planet. It is for this reason that no one then has a right to disrespect his parents, that we have even the clear instruction to tell us, don't disrespect them, especially when they are old. This, the Bible also says, in Proverbs 23, verse 22. Proverbs 23, verse 22. Now it says, Proverbs 23:22 says, listen to your father who gave you life. And do not despise your mother when she is what? Old. Do you see one point? That says, if you cannot disrespect them, cannot despise them when they're old, there's no time on this planet that any child has a right to disrespect the parents. And if we do, the consequences is so there that many people will suffer it without knowing why. So my point is that while as a man with his household or a woman that belongs to a new household does not have to obey his or her parents in everything, he or she must still respect them. In other words, there is time in your life where you are independent of them, so to say. But even at that point, you must show them utmost respect. Now, to remind us that the apostle, though, is still elaborating or giving an example of what it means to do all things in the name of Christ, he gives the reason that obedience to parents is important. The reason is given in the last clause of verse 20, where it says, for this pleases the Lord. Now, literally, the Hebrew reads, for this is well-pleasing in or to the Lord. The expression pleases comes from a Greek word that means acceptable. It is a word that is used without exception in the New Testament in connection with God to describe something that is acceptable to God. So the relate and this he said this is pleasing. This here again refers to obedience to parents. So the apostle reminds us that one way that a child will please the Lord Jesus Christ is to show respect to his parents. Now we have interpreted the word Lord here to mean the Lord Jesus Christ because the apostle had instructed the Colossians in verse 17 to do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Hence, when he used the word Lord in verse 20, he's still speaking or referring to the Lord Jesus Christ. Obedience to parents represents a principle of compliance to an ordained authority. That's the principle there. Hence, this last clause, by application, indicates that the Lord Jesus Christ is always pleased with believers when they submit to any authority that he has ordained. Now, the literal expression in or to the Lord has been understood several ways by scholars. For example, some say that really means as judged by a Christian standard. In other words, you obey as judged by Christian standard. Well, another interpretation is that obedience to parents is fit and proper in that sphere in which Christ now lives. That is, in the new fellowship of those who own Christ as their Lord.
point of this expression is that obedience to parents is pleasing to God as long as it is done because of Christ and in Christ. In a sense, this last expression then limits the extent of obedience. Children should only obey their parents as long as their instructions are in conflict with God's word. As long as it's not in conflict with God's word, you must obey your parents. So, that requires something else. See, if a child is not living, being obedient to the word of God, that means being obedient to the parents in everything, until one time when they go astray, as human beings do, and you say, no, this is a conflict with the word of God. Well, they may not like it at that point, but when they sit back and look at the whole pattern of your life, they see that you've been a very obedient child in everything, but all of a sudden you say you don't want to do this because it's against God's word, they will understand. They may not like it, but I think if they're reasonable, they will understand. Now, the obedience of children to their parents is so important because it is pleasing to God, that we have seen. However, there is also another benefit for obedience to parents, and of course, authorities in general. It is this, so that we can enjoy our life on this planet. Nothing makes people miserable, makes people miserable as being disrespectful to authority or rebelling against authorities. Truly constituted authority. When you do that, it's always going to be a problem. Now, the Bible is clear that one way to ensure that a person lives out the number of days the Lord has planned for that individual on this planet is to begin that life with obeying parents and then to transfer the habit of obedience to duly constituted authorities. The blessing of obedience to parental authority is given clearly in the Ten Commandments. If you recall, the Ten Commandments says, honor your father and your mother, as the Lord your God has commanded you, so that you may live long, and it may go well with you in the land the Lord your God is giving you. Now, the Apostle Paul elaborates on that blessing when he talks about this same concept of obedience in Ephesians chapter 6, verses 1 through 3. Ephesians chapter 6, verses 1 through 3. This is what it says. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with a promise. Now, what the apostle is saying, if you look at the Ten Commandments, none of it has a promise except this one. Because this is the one that really, there's a promise attached. And it says, verse 3, that it may go well with you and that you may enjoy long life on this earth. Now, let me put it this way. What good is it for a person to live long and live miserably? What good does it do? Now, so, if you want to enjoy quality life on this planet, you must, as a child, obey your parents. As an adult, show them great respect. Now, a child who grows up violating this command to obey parents will have a hard time in this life. His problem in this life is summarized in the words of Proverbs 30 verse 17. Proverbs 30 verse 17 summarizes the life story, if you want to use it that way, the life story of a man or a woman who started life disobedient to parents. This is a summary of their life. It says, the eye that mocks a father, that scorns obedience to a mother, will be picked out by the ravens of the valley, will be eaten by the vultures. Now, you know, ravens like to eat something that's dead. Vulture like to eat things that are dead, or at least they can get to. So the pecking out of one's eyes here is one way of saying that that person will be in their distress and difficulties in life before that person eventually dies. In other words, all I'm saying is there are so many people today, their life is a summary of one misery after another. You can look at it even in relationship. First wife, first husband. Second wife, second husband. Third, fourth, and so on, you know. What's the problem? See, people don't realize these things. If you trace that back, you'll find that this passage is being applied to that person. That somewhere in their life, they have ignored respect to their parents, obedience to parents. And as a result, from then on, they have made their bed so hard. And from then on, it's going to be miserable. So this is why people go from one end to the other. Restlessness, all of that comes under this umbrella here. So what we're looking at is something that I think every child who is growing up should be took to very heart. That you don't want to make your life miserable. And they are manifest in many, many ways. You know, there are a lot of people, they can't keep a job. And people don't connect their senses. Oh, yeah, well, I just don't get along with them. Why are you not getting along with them? You know, people give us all these things, but they never connect them to the spiritual. Because if people connect them, then they will have to admit that the word of God is true. And most people don't want to believe that. Yet, this is what God says. So a child who is a believer ought not to be the kind of person summarized in this Proverbs 13 verse 17. There should be no reason why your life should be one of misery or one of confusion from one point of your life to the next one because of rejection of this parental authority. And as I am certain, I know this for fact, and I can prove it with testimonies, that when children grow up disrespecting their parents, their life is not what you expected. I know this with personal experiences, and I can back it up. So the word of God is true. I don't doubt it. All you just need to know is, look at some of these people who have grown up uncontrollable by their parents. Just look at their life. And then, as we say, rest my case. Now, in any way, in keeping with the pattern of this section, after addressing children as those who should obey their parents, the apostle shifts to the responsibility of parents in relationship with their children. Now, this responsibility of parents is given in the first expression of verse 21, where it says, "Fathers, do not embitter your children." A literal translation of this expression from the Greek is, "Fathers, stop embittering or provoking your children." Now, the form of the Greek command suggests that the fathers were in the habit of embittering or provoking their children unnecessarily. So, the apostle wants them to put a stop to that. Now, the word embitter comes from a Greek word that means to irritate or to make resentful. It is the Greek word eretizo. Eretizo. E-R-E-T-H-I-Z-O. Eretizo. It could be used, this word is so that it could be used in a good sense, like to excite or to stimulate But it's also used in a bad sense. However, it is used in a bad sense here to provoke or to embitter. Again, the command for fathers is to stop embittering or provoking their children. And that will suggest that so the apostle was trying to stop or ask them to stop doing something that some of these parents were doing. Now, many of the believing fathers at that time might still be following the tradition of how their fathers were supposed to raise children. You know, I talked to you a little bit in this, there were some philosophers among the ancient world that gave them all kinds of rules as to how a man should treat the wife, the children, and slaves, and so on. And so, some of them may have been going with tradition. The thing I've always said and mentioned, that it is one of the most difficult things in our lives as human beings to get away from tradition or culture. It's very difficult. Once you get involved in tradition, it's very difficult to get out of it. It requires the special grace of God to do so. So, these people may have, because of these rules or pagan rules or philosophies, they may be a little more matinant with their wives, children, and slaves. And so, they do things without being motivated by love. Whereas, love and truth should govern a Christian father's treatment of his children. Now, the beginning portion of verse 21 is quite surprising, because the command to children was to obey their parents. You recall that I said that following the pattern, we observe it in verse 18 where the command was given to the wife first and then turned around and given to the husband. Because the person under authority receives the first and then comes the person who is actually in authority. But to our surprise, that is not what we have here. Because you see, the command in verse 20 says, obey your parents. But all of a sudden now, it changes to fathers in verse 21. So the question is why? Now there are at least three reasons for this switch. First, fathers are the ones who have instructions from pagan philosophers as to how they should rule their wives, children, and slaves. So that's why it becomes necessary to address them. Second, fathers, in a way, represent the class we call parents. This fact may be the reason in the Greek text, the definite article V is used before fathers to show that they represent the class that we call parents. Third, and perhaps the most important, is that fathers are the final authority in the household. They must assume the ultimate responsibility of disciplining their children. Now, I realize that there are situations where a woman is sometimes left alone to raise her children. When that happens, a woman is almost forced to assume the role of an absolute disciplinarian. Something not too women are good. Too many women are good at doing. Now she asks on one hand, if this is the case, she acts on one hand as a mother, and the other hand, she works as a father. Now this she must do if she expects her children to be well adjusted in life. However, for a believing mother, the word of God and the ministry of the Holy Spirit should provide the needed strength to do both of this function as a mother and as a father. You know, sometimes it is hard. There is something that almost every woman has in terms of emotional attachment to their children, to the point that in some cases they are not able to separate the function of discipline from the function of love, and that causes problem for many women who are left alone without a husband. And needless to say, I believe that when a woman is left in those situations because of the death of a husband or something thereof, that generally the God of grace will give that woman who seeks to please God the grace, the courage, and fortitude to do and bring up those children. Other than that, I have no authority from the Bible to say anything. And you can look at all these women having children without husbands and no father around to raise them. I don't have to tell you. You read the statistics, you read the news. Well, we should, however, emphasize that what the Holy Spirit instructs here through the apostle is for the normal condition of household whose head is the husband. Now, the instruction remains that fathers or parents are not to provoke or embitter their children. So when they ask, how does a father provoke a child or embitter a child? It is through the abuse of his authority over the child. Now, this abuse will include belittling the child and not being able to know what is essential and what is non-essential in this life. When parents do not know what is essential, they may find themselves always correcting and punishing a child for any and everything. Now, this kind of approach confuses a child, so he or she never knows what is absolute and what is relative. Now, there are children who are frightened at the sight of their fathers because they know that every time that man comes in, he's ready to slap everyone around. That is an abuse. That is something that embitters. And when that man does it many, many times, we have had cases of children killing their parents. In some cases, it could be, I'm not saying it all, in some cases, it could be this embittering. After so much abuse, that child snaps, so to say. Love and understanding of what is absolute and what is relative are both important in rearing children. A father who does not love his children will abuse them. But if he loves them, he will discipline them according to truth. Now, we must understand or remember that no discipline of any kind is fair to the person receiving it. Therefore, it should not surprise or be a surprise to any father that the children or even the wife may think that his discipline or training of his children is unfair. But the actual test of whether a father is acting fairly is always the basis of his action. If his action is motivated by truth and love, then he's not unfair. But if it's motivated by any other factor, then he could be or become unfair. In fact, a father who is passive and does not train his children through instruction and discipline is being unfair to that child. I want to repeat that. A father who does not train, discipline the children by being passive, you know, let everything go, that father is being unfair to the children. Now, many parents suffer needlessly because of rebellious children. But majority of the time, we can trace such rebellious rebellions to the inability of the father to be a father. Being a father is more than providing or getting a woman pregnant. It's more than that. Or it's more than providing even the necessities of the family. It must include instruction and discipline. It is for this reason that the apostle mentions instruction and training when he gave this similar command to the Ephesians in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 4. Ephesians 6, verse 4. So we can look at it and realize how important discipline and training from a father is crucial for that child. Ephesians 6:4 says, "Fathers, do not exasperate your children. Instead, bring them up in the training and instruction of the Lord." The word exasperate is a translation of a Greek word that also means to make angry or to arouse to wrath. To the Ephesians, the emphasis is that fathers should not make their children angry, better train them. So the best father is that father who trains the children by instructing them according to the word of God and disciplines them out of love instead of out of frustration and anger. That's not the right way. You discipline them out of love, based on truth, not because you are frustrated or angry. A father who fails to instruct and discipline a child in love has failed in his responsibility as a father. So we would normally expect such a father to reap what he has sown sooner or later. By this I mean that children whose fathers neglected them by not training them and disciplining them in love, those children will be a source of pain for their parents in their later years. Many parents suffer when their children live in what I call an opera type of life, confused and all kinds of things. So a life of misery for those children will be troubling to their parents. But this could be avoided if the father has just done what he's supposed to do, not just being a breadwinner. So a father must take the responsibility of encouraging his children to live according to the word of God. He must discipline them as well as comfort them when they become discouraged. The reason a father must not provoke or embitter his children is so that the children do not have a wrong understanding of the spiritual life and what the Christian life is all about, as well as life in general. The apostle states this reason in terms of being discouraged, as we read in the last expression of verse 21, where it says, "Oh, they will become discouraged." A literal translation is, "Lest they become discouraged." Now, when it's this word, discouraged, the Greek word also means to be disheartened. So the question is, in what sense is that child disheartened? Well, first, in the sense that children come to the conclusion that there is nothing that they can do to please their parents. So they become timid and always nervous. Second, in the sense that they will have a misunderstanding of the spiritual life and life in general. The father is the one to instruct and discipline his children. If he does not perform this function, as in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, he will be harsh unnecessarily without ever showing love to them, even in discipline. Therefore, when the children observe this type of behavior, they will become quite confused and timid and misunderstand what the spiritual life is all about, in that they will become discouraged about their relationship with their parents and about life in general. Now, rearing children, then, is a task that requires correct application of the teaching of the Word of God. The more a person understands the Word of God and correctly applies it, the better that person becomes as a parent. Every Christian parent must learn how to correct their children in love and when to praise them for doing that which is correct. A parent must avoid unnecessary criticism and punishment of a child. A parent who is always criticizing the child for any and everything will cause a child to either believe that he is stupid, which is not, or that the parent does not love him. Now, when a child feels that way, he could give up with the belief that there is nothing he or she could do to please the parents. Therefore, it is important for every Christian parent to strike the right balance of instruction and discipline, which will emphasize that under no condition should a parent ever look the other way or be permissive in that which is absolute. Flexibility must be applied only in those things that are relative. In this way, a child will understand the difference between what is absolute and what is relative. My point is that from the instruction of these two verses, raising of children requires sound knowledge of the Word of God and operating in wisdom and under the power of the Holy Spirit. For this reason, parents who are rearing children must take the learning of the Word of God seriously so that they can saturate their soul with truth. And of course, follow it by constantly asking for guidance and wisdom from the Holy Spirit to do right. It is a great responsibility, which if you do right, you spare yourself a lot of misery. You know, there are a lot of parents now who are suffering needlessly because their children who have left home, making them miserable as they think about their plight. This ought not to be the case for any believing parent who does it right. Father, we are thankful for the study of your word. We pray that God, the Holy Spirit, will continue to challenge us to the truth. For we ask in Christ's name, Amen.